بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, Allah سبحانه وتعالى جل جلاله created this universe, He created this world, He created time, He created time zones. Allah سبحانه وتعالى is the one who decreed where and when the sun will rise and where and where it will set. And by that I mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed the way the world, this earth, revolves on its axis, so that we see sun rise and sunset, whereas actually the sun neither rises nor sets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who decreed our lifespans and how long we will live. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed when we will die and how we will die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who, in His qadr, in His mashiyat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created ailments and illnesses, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the viruses, and He created the bacteria, and He created the means by which people get ill. And before that, He created the cures for those ills. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also created the cures. The illness is from Allah and the cure is also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also taught us what to do when we get ill. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us, and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam taught us what to do when we get ill. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to take medicine. He taught us to quarantine ourselves. He taught us to isolate ourselves and to move away from the source of infection. And He also taught us to make dua. My brothers and sisters, this deen is complete. Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announced this. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. Allah said, on this day I have completed this religion for you, and I have completed my blessing on you, and I have chosen for you Islam as your deen. Rasulullah ﷺ was sent to convey the message of Islam, and it is our aqidah, this is our belief, it is our creed, and I bear witness to it, and you all bear witness to it, that He did His job perfectly, that He did not leave anything undone. When this ayat was revealed also, Rasulullah ﷺ was in Arafat, he was sitting on his camel, and Rasulullah ﷺ raised his eyes towards the heavens. He raised his hand, he pointed towards the heavens, and he said, O Allah, I have completed the job that you gave me. And he asked the people, he said, do you bear witness? And all those who were with him, and Wallahu Alam, they say there were 125,000 Sahaba with him, they all bore witness and they said, Sadaqta Ya Rasulullah. They said, you have spoken the truth, Ya Rasulullah, and you have completed your job. So when we are in Islam as Muslims, we bear witness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us a complete religion, nothing left, incomplete, no missing pieces. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveyed that and taught us that in the most complete way, without leaving anything missing and without leaving any room for any additions or subtractions in it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in his famous hadith, which we hear in every Jum'ah, practically in every masjid in the world, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Asdaqul hadithi kitab Allah. The most truthful speech is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa khairul hadi hadi Muhammadin sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sharrul umuri muhdathatuha wa kullu muhdathatin bid'ah wa kullu bid'atin dalalah wa kullu dalalatin finnar. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the evil is the evil of inventions, of new things that are introduced into the religion. He said, every new thing that is introduced into the religion is a misguidance, and all misguidance is in the hellfire. My brothers and sisters, I remind this to you because what tends to happen, and we see this over and over again, that when we are faced with calamities, when we are faced with difficulties, then maybe with the best of intentions, Allahu A'lam, because I don't even know who invents these things, but whoever it is, let us have the best husnazan about our brothers and sisters, maybe with the best of intention, but people come up with all kinds of formulae which they claim will solve that problem. Now, as I told you, our deen is complete. And Rasulullah ﷺ warned us against introducing things into this deen which were not there in the beginning when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed this deen. It is our aqidah that as far as ibadat are concerned, as far as acts of worship are concerned, and let me define what is an act of worship in Islam. An act of worship in Islam is any act that you are doing with the expectation of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you are feeding people with the intention of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this becomes an act of worship. If you are just feeding people for the heck of it, it's not an act of worship. It's just so this is not the feeding of it, it's the expectation of reward. So if you are doing any act with the expectation of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it becomes an act of worship. And the usul of Islam and the usul of Sharia and fiqh in Islam is that for acts of worship, all our beliefs and all our ibadat, all our aqidah and all our ibadat. For in our acts of worship, everything is haram except what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did and taught us to do. Whereas in the umur of the dunya, in the matters of the world, everything is halal except what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam prohibited us from doing. So this is the basic principle of the Sharia and of fiqh, which I think we should keep in mind and remember. So anyone who invents an act of worship is by definition doing something which is haram. If anybody has invented an act of worship which is not something that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did or taught, then this is haram, this is prohibited, and the person who invented it and those who follow him are misguided, and you know what that means. Now, my brothers and sisters, now there's a new one that is doing the rounds, saying that at exactly this time, and this time is 7 p.m. in China, and it will be 11 p.m. somewhere else, and so on and so forth, different time zones. Exactly at this time, recite 100 times this. I know I have that thing before me. I am not saying those words because I don't want someone to quote me and say that I said this. So I'm not quoting what they want you to recite. But they want you to recite some ayat of the Quran. They want you to send durood and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So many times this ayah, so many times this ayah, so many times this durood. Let us all of us together, all the Muslims in the world, at the same time, let us do this for cure of coronavirus. Now my point is, where did this come from? Who did this? Did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advise us to do this? Did he say that in times of plagues, in times of calamities, in times of epidemics and pandemics, all of you everywhere in the world must stand together and you must recite this? Did he say that? If he said that, please show me the proof and I will recite it with you. If he did not say that, then this is an invention, this is haram, please don't do it, don't forward this, don't spread the message, and whoever invented this, go make istighfar, make tawbah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should forgive you. What must we do when we are faced with these epidemics and pandemics and so on? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it very clear for us. There is no need for us to be confused about it. First and foremost, he said, move away from that. He said, if you are in a place which has this pandemic, he said, stay in your house. Do not leave the place, do not leave the house, do not leave that particular area. And if you are not there, don't go there. So that's the first piece of advice that he gave us. Second thing he told us is that he said, and this is a hadith in Bukhari, which is a Sahih hadith, alhamdulillah, quoted by and narrated by our mother Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, where she said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised and said that if a person secludes himself in his house in a case where there is a pandemic, where there is an epidemic, if a person stays inside their house and they do not go out anywhere, then that person will get the reward of a shaheed. That person will get the reward of a martyr. Now, Ibn al-Hajar al-Asqalani, rahmatullahi alayhi, in his kitab, Fathul Bari, made this interpretation, and he gave us this understanding of this hadith. And he said that the wording of this hadith indicates that whoever fulfills what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And what did he say? He said, if a person in the time of an epidemic or a plague or a pandemic, whatever, stays in their home, patiently hoping for Allah's reward. What is he asking the reward for? Just for staying at home. He said, oh Allah, I'm staying at home because this is what your Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam promised, ordered me to do. And please reward me for this. And believing that nothing will afflict them except what Allah has written for them, they will get the reward of a martyr. This hadith, as I mentioned, is in Sahih Bukhari. It's also in Musnad Imam Ahmad. And Ibn al-Hajar al-Asqalani says, rahmatullah alayh, he says in his book, Fath al-Bari, that if a person does this, meaning if a person secludes themselves, self-isolation, self-quarantine, maintaining social distance, if a person stays at home, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his reward and believing that nothing will afflict him except what Allah has written for him, that person will be a martyr, will be considered a martyr. Ibn al-Hajar says, rahmatullah alayh, the meaning of the hadith is that this person will get the reward of a martyr even if he does not die. So if you are simply staying in your house, you will inshallah be counted among the shuhada, among the martyrs. You will be counted and you will get the benefit and you will get the reward of being a martyr. Now, you've got an objection to that, please. Now, the point is that this is what the Rasulullah ﷺ told us to do. He told us, stay at home and ask Allah for reward, make dua. And remember that if you are afflicted or not afflicted, this depends on what is written for you. If you believe this, then you have the reward of a martyr, even if you do not die. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from this epidemic and to give us the reward of martyrs. This is one. Second thing, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us du'as for protection. Bismillahi alladhi la yadurru ma'a ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis samai wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. A'udhu bi kalimati llahi tammati min sharri ma khalaq. These two du'as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to do for protection against all things, including these things. Other than this, there is no need to do anything else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Uduni astajib lakum, ask me, I will give you. So make lots of dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that these kinds of things, these are punishments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So make lot of istighfar. So let us make istighfar for ourselves and for our brothers and sisters, whoever they might be, Muslim or not Muslim. We make dua and istighfar because we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore we are the representatives of Allah subhanahu, representatives for all of humanity before Allah. So we carry out our job and we make dua for everyone. This is what we are supposed to do, nothing more. So please, all of these kinds of messages that come saying recite this so many times, recite that so many times, have no dalil whatsoever. If anyone is inventing something in religion, in the area of ibadat, in the area of worship, that is a bid'ah, it is haram, it is punishable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So make istighfar, make tawbah, please do not follow that. Whoever invented this, go make istighfar, make tawbah, and send out a message saying that you are sorry for that you invented this thing. And please do not follow it, because this is not permissible in Islam. There is no need for this. We have a far superior, far better method, which is the method taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If somebody thinks that they have a method which is better than the method of the Rasul, please understand that that person is seriously misguided and you don't want to follow a person like that. The same thing applies also to those who claim to have seen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their dream and he told them do this and that for curing of coronavirus. Please, my brothers and sisters, we do not, if a Muslim claims that he has seen Rasulullah in his dream sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we do not contradict that. Maybe he saw that. If he is lying, that is between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever lies about me will find his own place in Jahannam. So let him understand what he is doing. If he is telling the truth, alhamdulillah. If he is lying, then that's between him and Allah. But my point is very simple. My point is this deen does not depend on people's dreams. This deen was completed in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is nothing left for anyone to dream and tell us today which we don't already know. So please reject all of this. All of this is completely, it has no basis in Islam. if you want to think about dreams, they think about this, that during the life of the Sahaba Rizwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain, there was the plague. Many Sahaba died. Did any Sahabi, do you have a record of any Sahabi having seen Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a dream? People like Anas bin Malik used to see him every day in their dreams. Did the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tell Anas bin Malik some special wazifa to recite to save himself from the plague? Did any Sahaba see the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in their dream who told them this formula or that formula? We had in those days, the Muslims went through all kinds of trials and tribulations. There were huge conflicts, even between Sahaba, there were conflicts, there were wars. During all of that time, did the Sahaba see the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a dream and he told them do this and do that? Now, if the Sahaba did not see the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in their dreams, and if he did not give them formulae, what basis do we have to believe somebody who says today that I saw the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said read this so many times, read that so many times? Please reject all of this. If the person saw the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, alhamdulillah, good for him, let him see. We are not bound by somebody's dreams because we have a religion, alhamdulillah, which is complete. We don't need anyone's dreams and we don't need anyone's formulae for us to complete this deen. This deen, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, is complete. Let us follow that deen. Stay clean, stay pure, stay simple. Stay in your house. Do not congregate. Follow the dictates of Islam. Follow the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah, and you and I will be safe. If we don't do that, then we will not be safe in this dunya or the akhirah, because you are going to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you follow all of these things. Final and very important point. As far as congregations are concerned, I've said this so many times, I'm sick and tired of repeating, but again and again we see the same things. We see still people insisting on going to masajid, people insisting on doing salah by jama'ah, people insisting on doing jum'ah. We still see tabligh people going out in gasht and going out in traveling. Please understand, very, very important. As I mentioned to you, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically ordered us to stay at home, right? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically ordered us to stay at home. Now, if we don't do that, then we are endangering ourselves and other people. This coronavirus is unique. This coronavirus is something which has never happened before, which means that every human being is liable to be infected. Please, Muslims, do not become the reason for spreading infection. Otherwise, you are going to bring a bad name to yourself and to our beautiful religion. Right? So, please don't do that. Do not go to the masajid. Shut down the masajid. Please understand this. Even the muftis who are giving the fatwa saying that for Jummah, the quorum is 3 people plus 1 imam, or for regular salah, just 3 or 4 people are enough and stand far apart. Please understand. The questions that were asked with regard to the quorum for Jummah, they were not asked to Imam Abu Hanifa and Rahmatullahi Alayhi and others in the context of a plague, in the context of an epidemic. That was a general question which was asked to say that if there are only a few of us, can we do Jummah? And how few? What is the minimum number required? It was a general question which was asked and a general answer which was given. In the case of coronavirus, the way it infects a person may be contagious, but the person himself or herself is showing no signs of it, and that person does not even know that they are spreading this contagion, and these people can infect hundreds and thousands of people. The case zero in Korea is one single woman who came there from China, and she is responsible for the infection that spread. 60% of the infection is traced back to that one single woman in Korea. Now think about that. If you are saying that 3 people plus 1 imam are sufficient to make Jummah, therefore we must make Jummah. Now if you go to those 3 people and the imam, they are not secluded in the masjid. They are coming from somewhere. So even if one of them is infected, as he enters the foyer of the masjid, the person coughs and then he goes inside, and They pray Jummah. When they come back, all of them are walking through a fog of coronavirus, because WHO tells us that this virus is airborne. If somebody is who has the infection, who is contagious, coughs or sneezes, the virus is in the air in that space and it stays there and it is active for 8 hours. Now, you are not praying Salah for 9 hours. You are praying in 15 minutes, you are out there, you are back in that, and you have infected, that one person has infected those four people. So please shut down the masajid. Alhamdulillah, this is a sign of your iman that you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pray in your homes. Don't collect people in your homes. Do not visit anybody. Do not allow anyone to visit you. Wash your hands. Make sure that you do not become the means of spreading infection to everyone else and get a bad name for yourself and our beautiful religion. Please don't follow all these formulae for that. Stay clean, stay at home, stay safe, make dua, make lots and lots and lots of istighfar. I think that is the formula, alhamdulillah, and that formula is from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep everyone safe. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep everyone in his protection. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to cure this illness and to save us all from this calamity. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعليه وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.